Do that. And so we have been talking about a house that wisdom hath builded, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1, and she hath hewn down 7 pillars. In the context that follows that particular statement, there are 7 items that I believe can be extracted from the text and understood from the context as those 7 items. And it's illustrated by the use of that house for hospitality. And this lady is preparing a meal. And in the preparation of that meal, she is demonstrating those 7 principles. They are the foundation upon which that house resides. Well, the foundation would be Christ, and then the activity of these 7 items are those pillars themselves. Yesterday, we considered pillar number 1, advanced preparation, and today we want to look at pillar number 2, orderly organization. Now, you might be saying to yourself, wait a minute. If you're talking about preparation, you have to do that in advance. If you're talking about organization, then it has to be orderly, right? I mean, you're doubling up on the words. Yes, and I understand that. As well, I want you to understand that sometimes the process of doubling up is a desire to emphasize and be emphatic with the statements or the words themselves. In the Hebrew language, as opposed to the Greek language, the Greeks would be more like you and I. They would attach a prefix to it, like hooper, above and beyond, abounding in something. But now, the Hebrews would just double up on the word. And so it would be wise, in that sense. And one would be an adjective, and the other would be a verb. And so it would be wise. And that meant that this was an extremely wise individual. Well, that's all that we're doing here, is using that kind of linguistic tool, you might say. So it's advanced preparation and it's orderly organization. And so we're going to consider orderly organization here in just a minute. But I do want to pause before we get started for a couple of things. Number one, I want you to be thinking about that prayer list. I know yesterday we had some things added at the very last minute, and I had already, remember, there's about a 20-second delay, so you might be thinking about that prayer list, and we will add whatever that we need to add to our prayer list in that fashion. But while you're doing that, while you're thinking about those things, I want to encourage you to join us anytime that you're in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area. That would be the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. We would love to have you as our honored guest. And we meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study. It's 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and it's every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I know the brethren here would love to have you come and join us as we study God's Word, as we worship our Heavenly Father. If you're listening to us on WJHF 106.9, we want to encourage you to, first of all, we're grateful that you're listening to us on that venue. We're grateful that you have given up some of your time in order to invest with us here on Reflections in this Bible study. But we want to encourage you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their times of services. All right, the phone number today is 405-428-2440. What that means is this is a daily live broadcast of Reflections. It's weekday, Monday through Friday, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And that means that whether or not it is on WJHF 106.9, if you're listening there, you can actually join us in a live chat room at thegospelradionetwork.org. Click on that Listen Live button in the center of the page and put your first name in the login. Come in, and you can chat with us while listening to us on the radio. If you would like to join us live for a video feed, you can do that through YouTube at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. If you go to the Nesbitt Church of Christ channel, then you can join us live as we discuss these things today about the idea of orderly organization or the seven pillars of wisdom in regards to that. I see that we already have several of our Bible students that are lining up. Always have a tremendous group of Bible students from the state of Washington to Wisconsin to Texas to Oklahoma to Mississippi, all around. And we're always pleased, and I haven't heard from Brother Javon Jesse in a while. I need to check on him and see how he's doing. He's generally with us, and or at least on the Facebook he was until we switched over. I need to get to him to be able to encourage him to join us. Hopefully he will be able to do that. All right, so with that in mind, let's go ahead and get started here. I certainly want to remember, if y'all would remember Brother Hudson Bird as he is going off to basic. He left this morning about 8 o'clock this morning. He left. They are flying to San Antonio, and they will be down there, and he will begin that experience of going through basic training, and then he'll have his training afterwards, and it will be a little while before we see our good brother. And I will tell you, he is a young man. I think he's in his 20s, but he is a young man that will truly be missed around here. He was engaged in all of the activities and continues. I know he will continue to be wherever he is, but we will miss him. I told you yesterday we will probably miss him more than he misses us. But also remember my eldest son, Caleb, and my youngest son, both of them, but Caleb is going through some difficulties. We'd love to have your prayers in regards to that. And then my youngest son is in Okinawa, and he and his family, so be sure and include them in your prayers. Let's see here. I can't think of anything else right off the bat. I will say that I read a fine article this morning, an article of repentance, by the way, and confession, and I thought, you know, you rarely see articles like this. But the title of the article was, 1 year into COVID, comma, I was horribly wrong. And the idea was in relationship to individuals that dismissed services and cut services out and went to virtual, and he is certainly recognizing that was not the right direction to go, and it was wrong for him to engage in that. And he was one of those who came out with an article about this is how we should do it. And so I really do appreciate that. And that comes from Focus Press in regards to that. And I believe it was Brother Wilkie who put that together. And so we certainly, I mentioned it to several people, and I said, my heart sings with tears. You know, it, some people would say, hey, I told you so. But that's childish. It's unchristian. And we should never have that kind of attitude in relationship to people who repent. It is contrary to the way that Christ would have done things, and so it's contrary to the way that we should do things. But our brother did a fine job, and I know that it's difficult when you write and you talk and you speak for a living, you're out there publicly, and it's hard to retract things because people will be harsh on you if you don't. People will be harsh on you if you do. And so it is good for us to rally around and support those individuals that do this. Now, this is not an endorsement of anything else in relationship to that. It's just an endorsement of that particular article. And so, but I don't want to belabor on that particular point. I just thought that would be a good article for you to read. And certainly a very up-to-date topic with relationship to the Church of Christ. I would also love to encourage some of my other brethren who have come out publicly in favor of virtual worship. I would love to encourage you to do the same as Focus Press has done in regards to this. All right, with that in mind, we're going to have a song, and then we'll have our prayer, and we will get to, well, I do not have, and I do have one, so but we'll have that just a little bit later. I want to get to our song before we do anything else.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said, and walk along with me, praise God.
Glory, hallelujah, I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band.
Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load.
Jesus said he'd walk along with me.
Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, it just doesn't get any better than that as far as songs are concerned, so let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray this hour for thy many benefits that thou hast blessed us with gratitude in our hearts. We realize that we do not deserve to be within thy presence save for the blood of Jesus Christ. And we realize, our Heavenly Father, that there are times, that means that there are times that we sin, that we fall short of thy glory, and that we must approach thee in reverence and awe, and approach thee with a sense of humility and an ideal for restoration. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for Focus Press and Brother Wilkie in the repentance note that he published. We realize that the church over the last year has been in a great deal of turmoil because of those who have gone into virtual worship and where the assembly is involved, and they have utilized the Lord's Supper and giving in an inappropriate and incorrect way. We pray for men such as Brother Wilkie, as they seek to do that which is right and make the same public voice and lend their voice to the truth as they had once lent it to error. And we're so appreciative of men who are willing to do that, willing to follow thy second law of pardon and receive with them that forgiveness. Humility is at the heart of all that we are, and we're mindful when we see it exhibited in such a public fashion as this. We ask that you would be with the Byrd family as Brother Hudson is departing for San Antonio, or has departed for San Antonio, and will begin his work as an airman. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would grant him, as we know his great strength in thy faith, but that you would grant him the ability or the disposition of Daniel to be able to face all the lions' dens that he may enter into, that you grant him the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be able to stand up to face the fiery furnaces that he will walk through. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of Brother Caleb, my son, Miss Mona and I's son, as he struggles with some issues, and we're thankful that you are a source of strength for all of us, and we pray that that those that are that surround him would work toward his benefit, and that things might work out, that he might be in a safe place. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of Brother Joshua, our son as well, who is in the Air Force and is in Okinawa. We pray for his strength. We realize that when people are so far away, and especially during COVID, that you might not get to see people the same as you did before. And we pray for those families of all of those who are serving in our military. And we pray that you would grant them grace to strengthen their resolve to do always that which is right. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of this program and the broadcast and all of our Bible students, and we pray that you would be with them. We know that Sister Jensen is challenged with the care of her mother and bringing her to a different area, and we know that that can be very difficult on a family in that regards, and we pray that thy love and care and mercy might be upon them as a family, that they might grow together in grace and knowledge throughout this particular challenge. We ask that you would be with Sister Woodall as she gives care to those grandchildren of hers, and that the rejoicing, no doubt, that she does each day, that she is able to be with them, but the care and love to bring them up as Lois and Eunice did young Timothy. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us now as we enter into this Bible study. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, I do want to go right into our Bonner moment together. And yesterday he sent out a very good text, and I want to share it with you today. And he says, walking with God is nothing short of intentional. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. We have to walk in holiness, for God is holy, 1 Peter 1:15-16. The sacred scriptures show us how to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. The word of God cuts and heals if we go to it, Hebrews 4:12. If the word that will give us the, it is the word that will give us the nourishment we need daily, Job 23:12. If you can If you think you can accidentally walk with the Lord, consider again. And what a wonderful encouragement that we have from Brother Bonner. All right, without any delay, I do want to answer a question that Sister Jensen has posed in regards to the prayer that we were preparing for about whether or not Wednesday night was the assembly. It is an assembly, but the assembly that includes the Lord's Supper. By the way, there are activities that go on. There's a Q&A that go on oftentimes in Bible classes. A young lady may have a question in a Bible class, and she may pose that. She may even bring up a scripture reference in order to clarify a particular point. That is forbidden with regards to the assembly, and by the, I'm just referencing the fact that when the Lord's Supper and those five acts are included, then there is a that kind of an assembly cannot be virtual. And now you and I, we're engaging in a virtual assembly. You have assembled here with me for the purpose of studying God's Word. There's nothing wrong with that. We've had a prayer, we've had preaching, and we've had singing. And there's nothing wrong with any of those three items in regards to a virtual aspect of that. And so hopefully that will answer that question. And it's an important question, so I wanted to get to that clarification. When we talk about virtual worship, not all virtual worship is forbidden, but there are some virtual worships that would be forbidden. And that's the clarification there. All right, so let's get to our study today in regards to this. And I think this is an important study in regards to this. But I want to remind you again where we're basing this out of. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 1, wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewn out seven pillars. That wisdom is the principal thing. That's Proverbs 9:1. That wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and in all thy getting get understanding. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 7. It is important that we keep these things continually in our mind, that the Bible, you see, the Bible is always God-oriented, and it's very practical. I remind you of the fact that wisdom enables one to turn every good thing in life to its rightful, divinely intended purpose. And that becomes very important in our understanding of what wisdom is. And so we talked about the ideal of advanced preparation, and now we speak of, as we go back to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 2, I want you to keep in mind there that that she hath laid out her table. Notice how the proverb writer there in Proverbs 9 and verse number 1, let's begin, says that wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine, that is advanced preparation. She hath also furnished her table. And so now we have an orderly organization. I mentioned this to you when Miss Mona prepares our hospitality meal, and she has everything organized properly. And so that you move down the line, you get your plate, you start to fill that plate up, you go to another station, you get your drink, you go to the table, you sit down, but everything is in its proper place. It is orderly organized, right? Now, if we are to do all things decently and in order, then certainly it is true that we serve a God that does things decently and in order. when the time was right, right, is Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. At the right time, the Bible says, God brought forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. That's what the phrase "in the fullness of time" means, when the time was right. You know, back in the Old Testament, God spoke of the sins of the Amorites not being full, and it wasn't ready to engage in that strong disciplinary act of going against them. And so it is important then that we understand these things. And so she hath furnished her table. Proper arrangement makes dinner both practical and manageable, right? And so we're going to be talking about, I got some laws of orderly organization that I want to go to here in just a minute. But before we get there, organizing things is really a most difficult subject matter indeed. It is a deep topic because it envelops so many different layers. And having all of the layers is important to the orderly organization. But what a topic of orderly organization. If we're going to develop the church in a particular way and develop our own mind and then help the church to develop into an orderly organization, then that's a serious topic there. Think about just the word "develop." You know, that in and of itself is a, we're talking about taking something from one state to another, right? If you develop something, then if you develop a photograph, you take it from that film and you put it on something else. You move it from one state to another state, right? And so developing implies that there's a whole lot more than just teaching and preaching about it that will occur. Now, that's essential. We got to teach people what it means to be organized and how to get organized. And I believe the Bible is very clear on those principles on how to do that. But it's more than just teaching. It's more than just preaching. There has to be some kind of plan of action in order to, and by the way, we want everybody on the same stage, on the same page. I heard a gentleman say today, as I was doing some further research in regards to this, something I thought was very powerful. How can a couple be on the same page if they don't have the same calendar? And I thought, you know, in the day where you can share your calendar, you know, you might have a church calendar and everybody gets a church calendar. Everybody knows what's going on with regards to that. But yet you have a husband and a wife and they each have their own calendars and neither one of them knows what the other is doing or the other what's going on in the other's life, then you're probably not one, right? Because one means one in the carrying out of the activities of life itself. And so it is important that we understand how important the development of organization really is, that we do things decently in order. One of the things I loved about this congregation when I first got here and began to talk, I was preaching that morning, but in the announcements, the very last thing in the announcement is called the order of worship. And it will say something along these lines that the order of worship for today is that brother so-and-so will lead us in our closing prayer at the appropriate time. Brother so-and-so will be leading us in song. Brother Pope Joy will be delivering the lesson. And at this time, brother so-and-so will come and lead us in our opening prayer. Of the details of that orderly worship is laid out before the congregation, before we ever begin our worship. And to me, that demonstrates to the congregation and to the people that are there that these things have been planned. You see, it's advanced preparation and it's orderly organization. And so we must develop a plan of action, but we've got to develop more than that with some people. Some people, you have to develop a desire. They're okay with living life in sandals and flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt and a pair of shorts and out on the sandy beach. They're okay with living life without any kind of planning. And but is that really the best kind of life in Christ? I don't think so. God is a planner. God is an organizer. He organized creation. He organized the scheme of redemption. He planned it. He prepared the details, and he developed those details in the Bible itself is nothing more than a revelation. Nothing more. That's not the correct term. It is as well a development of those plans. And so it is important that we need that item. And so we need to develop the desire in some people for that to happen. Now, let me give you some things that are important in the development stage, the development of organization. Number one, we need to have an evaluation, right? There needs to be some kind of evaluation. Now, I'm going to give you some questions that will help you in the evaluation process, but this is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, where the Bible says, "Examine yourself to see whether or not you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you?" Now, notice this, "except you be reprobate." Listen, you don't want to fail the test here. And that's what a reprobate is, one who has failed the test. So you might say, "Well, I can't fail the test if I don't take it." Oh, yeah, you'll fail. That's a zero. That's an F if you don't take the test. But here he's talking about taking the test. Test yourself. Examine yourself. Well, that means I have a source, a law, right? I have a source of which I can test myself against. And the first thing I need to do is I need to have an evaluation. Well, think about an evaluation just for a few seconds here. What are some things that you would need in order to evaluate yourself? Well, what am I doing well? What are some things, let's say from a church vantage point, what are some things the church, the local congregation is fulfilling well? What are some areas that need improvement? There might be some areas that need overhauling, right? Well, what's the difference between improving and overhauling? Well, an overhaul means you got to start from scratch, right? And there are some things that we might be engaged in. We don't need to be engaged in those things anymore. Scratch them, overhaul the entire process because we just ain't doing it right. And so there are some things like that. There are some things we might need to introduce, and then there are some things we might need to extraduce, we need to get rid of, right? So that's all. Those are things a part of what is it in my life that is keeping me from fulfilling the Word of God in my life, keeping me from engaging in an activity that God said? Well, that needs to go, or it needs to be overhauled or improved, right? Now, what are those areas we're in? I or the congregation has potential. What are the priorities? You have different needs than I have. We're all in maybe a different phase of life as well, and that's an important part of this as well. It depends upon what stage of life that you are in, and we'll get to that if we have time. I don't know if we'll have time for that, but the first thing that you need is a sense of evaluation. Evaluate who you are, where you are, what your needs are, what your potentials are, and be honest and be very serious about the evaluation. Number two, there needs to be some kind of designation involved. Now, with this, you might, as a congregation, I help the congregation to develop a mission statement, a vision statement, to set goals and objectives and strategies. But why shouldn't we have that as a family? Why shouldn't we have that as individuals in our own lives? I want to show you how that's done congregationally here at Nesbitt. I'll show you that before we get done with that. But that's all getting it down to some details now. What is it that, why am I here? You see, what am I doing while I'm here? Why am I doing what I am doing? What is the outcome of what is going on? But then we need some education, right? That is, we need some, personally, it means that I need to go to the Bible to find out the answer to the questions that I have. If I have failed the test or I haven't answered some of the questions correctly and I'm not where I need to be, I need to get there. Well, the Bible tells us how to get there. So our preaching needs to be with purpose toward orderly organization. Our teaching needs to be with direction toward that. You know, not every congregation has the same need. You don't begin every congregation. Every congregation has certain basic needs. The fundamentals of understanding the Word of God overall, right? We all have that basic. But there are some congregations. What about a brand new congregation as opposed to a congregation that's been around for, say, 100 years or so? Older members versus a younger member congregation. The evaluation and the education is going to be different in those cases. Certain things are absolutely essential. But if I don't have, listen, if I don't have anybody, if everybody in the congregation is basically 80 and above, and we do have some congregations like that, do I really need to spend a great deal of my time talking about the raising of children? Probably not. But now grandchildren or how to influence your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that might be a better use of their purpose, you see. And that's all I'm saying with regards to that. What about Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5? Did not Paul send Titus with a specific purpose to set things in order? And the part of that setting things in order was to appoint elders in every church. And Timothy had a different set of responsibilities in 1 Timothy chapter 1 than Titus did, because they were two separate congregations. So educate with purpose and teach with direction is important in regards to that. Number four, you need constant, I'm gonna get to this one later, so I'm just going to mention this, constant communication. And this is one of the seven principles. But what about participation? You know, if the preachers are preaching it, the Bible class teachers are teaching it, and the elders are overseeing it, but you're not participating in it, it's not going to be of any value to you. And so we need participation. From the top down, it's not do as I do. It's not do as I say only. It's do as I say and as I do. In other words, leaders need to lead. That means they need to be in the forefront. That means that your footsteps are the ones everybody are following. How about this? Eliminate. We talked about this just a little bit, so don't want to mention much. But when you begin to plan the work, there's always going to be people that are going to have pointless criticism, right? There's naysayers that are out there, unscriptural ideals. Hey, if we're going to do that, then I think we need to put in a gymnasium over here. I think we need to have a band up here or a group singing for us and all of that. No, we don't need those things. So those are some of the questions and some of the important things that we need to have if we're going to have orderly organization. Now, I said I was going to get to a couple of things here, and so I want to do that before we get started here. I want to talk, first of all, and I'm going to save the what I have done over the last couple of years with the help. By the way, I did not originally design some of this material. It's all Bible anyway, but I've had a lot of great help over the years in some of this stuff. Some of my mentors, some of my teachers, some of my friends have really helped me along the way try to do a better job with organization. I come from a background that was not really highly organized, and so I've had to learn over the years from an adult on to be more organized than I am, and I still have work to do in that area. And so that's why I think this is important. I can see the work that needs to be done in my life in regards to this. But let's talk about the laws of orderly organization, and then we'll get to our plan of action with regards to Nesbitt here. But the laws of orderly organization, there are five laws that I want to talk about, and I don't have a lot of time, so we can deal with some of the intensity of these later. Some of these I've already talked about in and of and by themselves. But the laws of orderly organization, you need to first of all understand the laws of sowing and reaping. See, that this is orderly organization. God orderly or organized the way that the earth was to carry things out. Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, he established the laws of sowing and reaping. He established, and by the way, there are three laws that are primarily important in regards to the passages I'm going to give you, but Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, and Hosea chapter 8 and verse number 7. So there's the laws of sowing and reaping, and here are the laws. Number one, you reap what you have sown. Okay? You reap what you have sown. What probably should be underlined in that sentence. You reap out of that which you have actually sown. It's out of that you want to emphasize. So you reap what you have sown, you reap out of that which you have sown, and you reap greater than that which you have sown. You might sow a single seed and reap hundreds and thousands of apples throughout the next. So we've talked about these principles. These are the laws of sowing and reaping, but the laws of sowing and reaping work in relationship to the law of seasons. And the law of seasons is extremely important. Genesis 1 and 14, he talks about the trees, and then he goes to, and I want you to notice this transition of the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for years and days. After the flood, God reiterated in Genesis 8 and 22 the principle of seasons. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 1, for everything there is a season, right? There is a time in regards to these things. These are very important principles in relationship to this. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. And Proverbs chapter 20, I want you to notice verse number 4. Proverbs 20 and verse number 4, get over there, he says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. So there is a principle of seasons that you have to plow in the right season. If you wait too long, then you will be hungry. If you go too early, by the way, you will be hungry as well. You don't want to plow before the season is right. And Proverbs chapter 6, notice verses 6 through 8 here. Probably familiar with this. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. See, it's not just about the work that they are engaged in, but you need to learn to be a self-motivator. That's what it's saying about the ant. The ant is a unified worker. They work together by self-motivation. They don't need somebody with a whip over them. They don't need the manager always walking the floor and the supervisor for them to be working and engaging. They're self-motivated people. We need to be a self-producer in regards to those things. And the law of seasons is vitally important to what we are talking about here. But there's other laws. How about this, the law of planting? Now, there's a lot that we really need to say about this and cannot. But Proverbs chapter 20, Psalm 20, verse number 4. I have a Proverbs 20 and 4, and then a Psalm 20 and verse number 4. But listen to what he says here. Grant thee according to thine own heart, and fulfill all thy counsel. Anything that we do, here's the principle that I want us to learn. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. The law of planning should always include divine revelation. It is a shame that people plan their entire life, they work their entire life, and they do not include God in it. Now, you may produce something here on this earth, but it will not proceed beyond this earth. Whereas if you include God in your planning, you know, sometimes we talk about leaving a legacy. Well, you must do something. You must engage in some kind of activity that will leave a legacy, but it's more than that. See, some people just want to go to leaving a legacy, and what will people remember me by? Oh, that's the old Greek heroism. You see, if you want to be remembered, then you do this. You do great exploits, but great exploits without God don't go beyond the grave. So what will the grave produce for us? Well, it will produce eternal life, you see. Well, we must, number two, Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, and let's look at verse number 20. I want you to notice here that we must plow in the right season, right? We talked about that principle in 12 and 20. He says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to counselors of peace is joy. Now notice this, even the wicked, even evil men have to live by this principle. The principle of planning. Wicked, listen, sometimes they do it ambidextrously, but they plan for it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Do not go with their wicked plans, right? That's the ideal. Look with me. Oh, boy, I'm going to run out of time here if I don't hurry. Proverbs chapter 21. Notice with me in verse number 5. Proverbs 21 and verse number 5. The thoughts of the diligent. Thoughts. The planning. Right? These are plans. These are thoughts that I have of the diligent. Tend only to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty only to want. Now what's that saying? It's saying that I must put my plans in, that is, the divine plans, into my life. I must be diligent about them. Every one of us knows we're going to put plans in our minds late December, early January, right? We have certain goals, certain things that we want to accomplish in 2021. How long did that last? 3 days, a month, whatever. Is it not gone by now? Some people, did I make a resolution back in January? What was that resolution that I made, right? There's no diligent activity in the carrying of that out. Well, if you want it to be plenteous, then you have to do it. It has to be something done. I have an entire sermon on the importance of daily activities in regards to things such as this. But we must put our plans into action. Well, the fourth law is the law of wise counsel. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 9, this may be, and it's right in our context, right beyond our context, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." Now, there's a great example of this, but we must seek out wise counsel. Did not Rehoboam seek out wise counsel as well? In 1 Kings 12, verse number 6, he sought out the instruction of the men who had worked with his father Solomon. Then in verse number 10, he sought out wisdom from the young men, the old men, the young men. He got two different contrasting counsels. He went with the young men, the wrong counsel, by the way, and he divided the kingdom, the Bible says. And that, by the way, in verses 12 through 16. And so 1 Kings 12 gives us a great example of Rehoboam, who sought wise counsel but did not act. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, and verse number 14 in particular, says that we need to know the difference, be able to discern between good and evil. You see, he sought out wise counsel, but he could not discern between good and evil counsel. So we must not only seek it out, but we must be able to discern when somebody has given us bad counsel. And then number 5, the law of knowing God's will. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, Acts 17, 11, and 2 Timothy 2, 5 also tell us of the law of knowing God's word. The law of sowing, the law of seasons, the law of planting, the law of wise counsel, and the law of knowledge are all important in orderly organization. And I wish we had time to develop that. We could spend a whole series of sermons or a Bible class lesson just on that. But I want to end with this. Here's how this works out after you get through the planning stages. This is how this works out. A mission. Mission, vision, goals, and strategies. Those are the four areas that we need to work on. So mission. Mission means why do we exist? So I have three Bible verses that guide and direct me in this. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 17. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Why do we exist? To make people prepared. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what Jesus did, that's what I need to engage in. And then Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why we exist. Now, where do we go from here? Well, we need to develop to be spiritually minded, right? Romans chapter 8 and verse number 6. To love and to serve one another, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13. To grow in grace and knowledge, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. And so where do we go from here? We need to work toward and develop these spiritual mindedness, service to one another, and growing in grace and knowledge. So here are the goals. Three of them. Speak the truth in love. Goal is who we desire to be. All right? And so we're going to speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. We're going to be followers of God as dear children, Ephesians 5 and verse number 1. We're going to be made conformable unto his death, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Now here's the strategy. Here's where the rubber really meets the road. How are we going to do that? Well, John 1:45, it said, Philip findeth Nathanael. Think about the strategy there. Acts 2:42-47, and they continued steadfastly in. And then Acts 20 and verse number 20, Paul did this publicly and from house to house. Now, that's how the plan of action works itself out. Now I have to be diligent in carrying out each of these items. One builds upon another, so advanced preparation must lead to orderly organization. And what a topic the Bible is in regards to this beautiful subject that we've addressed today. Well, my friends, God bless and have a beautiful day.